Blog Talk Radio.
The American walks every day normal going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Towers, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad has come to America.
Wake up, America. It's time to rise and protect our American way of life. You could be offended. In fact, you will be offended by the content of the show. You're listening to UAC Radio.
Wake up, America. Good evening, Radio Jihadists. You're back with ACT Radio Jihad, the patriotic resistance movement. I'm Vito Esposito, and thank you for joining us tonight. Our call-in number is...
Area code 347-857-1380. Radio Jihad.
And joining me tonight is that no-pork-eating America lover, Alan Kay. Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. Good to see you.
Good to see you, my friend. Let's take this moment, and I'm going to read something from the Patriot Post that we could not have written any better. A ferocious tsunami spawned by one of the largest earthquakes ever recorded slammed Japan's eastern coast Friday, killing thousands of people as it swept away boats, cars, and homes, while widespread fires burned out of control. The magnitude 8.9 offshore quake unleashed a 23-foot, 7-meter tsunami and was followed by more than 50 aftershocks for hours, many of them of more than a magnitude 6.0. Hawaii was being swept by tsunami waves as well as California, and we at Radio Jihad send our thoughts and prayers out to all those who have been affected by this. And it's really a sad state of affairs, and when you see the news and as it unfolds hour by hour, minute by minute, the devastation that this earthquake and tsunami left behind is incredible, isn't it, Al?
Oh, it's devastating. In fact, there's a video of one of the nuclear reactors that they afraid they're going to have a meltdown. It's horrendous.
Yeah, but explosions out of those nuclear power facilities as well. I mean, it's incredible, absolutely incredible. I mean, and of course now the environmentalists are taking full advantage of this regarding earthquakes and the nuclear power facilities. You know, for the last 50 years, nothing's happened, or 40 years now. Of course, they're trying to find an excuse to validate their ability to protest against a nuclear power.
Right, and it's funny you mentioned 40 years ago, because the nuclear power plants in Japan are 40 years old, utilizing old technology, and according to reports now, OSHA demands that when these new nuclear reactors are built, that they're encased in case-hardened concrete that can withstand a missile strike. So this new technology is even safer, yet the environmentalists are jumping on this, on the bodies of all these dead Japanese, to further their cause, and frankly, I find it disgusting.
Yeah, these are the same people that slam conservatives, and they like to, play that victim card. And of course, they're taking full advantage of a devastating tragedy that's occurred in Japan. And of course, you know, the most logical thing as well is that you don't build a nuclear power facility on a fault line or right near it. Now, you know, having said that, you know, you still, your heart goes out to the Japanese people and what they're enduring. And, you know, have you seen the riots in the streets of Tokyo or Kyoto?
Have you seen
the looting in the store? Yeah, the looting of the stores by the Japanese and the police.
No.
No. It's a great question. Hurricane Katrina, which was a quarter of what this is turning out to be, it shows how civilized the Japanese people really are, and how they're going to come out of this thing really well. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in this whole thing, but you don't see the riots in the streets. You don't see the looting and the ravaging of businesses. You know, they've already been ravaged by water and by earthquake. They don't need any more human elements in it, demanding the government do something for them.
No, you don't hear any of that. The government phenomena, that nothing can – the Japanese, they just don't have that like they do here, the dependence on the government. Life can't go on without the government.
Yeah, exactly. What was that? I'm sorry.
Well, I take that back. I mean, in Mississippi, during the hurricanes and the flooding there, the Republicans they took care of business. It was only during Katrina in New Orleans that government was to blame. Government was the answer, and everyone was complaining. In fact, they're still complaining.
Yeah, Mississippi actually was as hard hit as New Orleans was, except it wasn't as densely populated, and didn't see people out there rioting the government and rioting businesses and, you know, playing that victim card. Speaking of victims, we have our quote of the day from the generous Quran. O you who have believed, do not take the Jews and the Nasara as friends. That would be Christians. They are friends to one another, and whoever among you takes them as friends, so surely he is of them. Surely Allah does not guide the unjust people. So Jews and Christians are unjust people. Isn't that refreshing, huh?
Yeah, which verse is that?
Oh, I'm sorry, that's verse 551. Chapter 5, verse 51. O you who have believed, do not take the Jews and the Nasara as friends. They are friends to one another. And whoever among you takes them as friends, so surely he is one of them. Surely Allah does not guide the unjust people. Okay. Sounds
nice.
pretty accepting and tolerant, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. You can even go to 580 where it says, you will see many of them befriending those who disbelieve. Certainly evil is that which their souls have sent before them, that Allah became displeased with them, and in chastisement shall they abide. Those Muslims who befriend unbelievers will abide in hell.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Feeling the love.
Yeah, the torment, they will abide forever. Wow, torment. So the unjust people, the Jews and the Christians, will feel torment forever. Huh. You know, I'll tell you, not to get too religious on this thing, but, you know, what did it for me to show that, to question the Quran, is chapter 5, verse 75. And, you know, I know there's people out there of different faiths and persuasions, but chapter 5, verse 75, the Christ, Son of Mary, is nothing except a messenger. Indeed, other messengers have gone before him, and his mother is a Siddiqa, which is a person of integrity. Well, it's pretty nice, isn't it? That sums up Islam to me in a nutshell. As a Christian, when you have a verse in the Quran that says the Christ, Son of Mary, not the Son of God, Son of Mary, is nothing except a messenger, they're out of touch. And the book's been plagiarized of the Torah and the Bible, and there are other verses that indicate that it's nothing but a plagiarism of both books. So that does it for me.
Well, what I find
amazing, if anybody's got any comments.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because I've been to several of these interfaith dialogues, and the imams that come in and conduct these inside the churches, they mention this when people ask, and with a straight face, they say that, oh, well, you know, your Jesus is, you know, he's just a regular guy, and, you know, he's not the Son of God, and they say it with a straight face. And the Christians continue to allow them into the churches to proselytize belief that is contrary to what they believe. They're basically coming into the church and telling them that they're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. But yet they're saying that Islam is peace and we're all the same. We're all the same God. You know, I've heard that, you know, if you heard that once, you've heard it a thousand times, that we all pray to the same God. Well, verse 575 just contradicts everything that an imam tells you. So that tells me that the imams are engaged in al-taqiyya, which is the ability for Muslims to lie to non-Muslims for the sake of Allah, which also means that they're here in the United States not to assimilate, but in fact to look for ways to dominate, and they are intolerant. Now, for Christians out there who are listening, if someone came up to you and says, the Christ, Son of Mary, is nothing except a messenger, would you not be offended by that statement? And that statement is in the holy, the generous, whatever you want to call it, the generous Quran. And this is something that Islam prays to on a daily basis. This is what seven-year-olds memorize. The Quran is the constitution of Islam. And you're telling us that we all pray to the same God? No, we don't. Allah God is different from the Christian God. These are all smoke screens trying to temper and sanitize what Islam really is about. The Christ, Son of Mary, is nothing except the messenger. So I guess our Easter time that's coming up, and happy Lent to everybody, all the Catholics out there, that actually did not happen. Because they don't recognize the Holy Trinity, they don't recognize the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, since he's not the Son of God under Islam's eyes. So let's cut right to the chase. Why are the Muslim Brotherhood front groups here in America? And why are we accepting Islam as a legitimate religion when in fact it's a political ideology masquerading as a religion?
Well, you jump on a good point that it is a political ideology, because not only does the Sharia or the Sharia law, it dictates how one prays the religious rituals, but it also dictates how one is punished, how government is formed, how laws are written, enacted, and the punishment sent out violently. It's an all-encompassing, it instructs a Muslim on what to do from the minute they wake up to the minute they die.
Exactly. And you know what? When the Muslim Brotherhood says that the Quran is their constitution, what must be taken from that? I mean, that's pretty forthright. It's pretty simple deduction for Americans to make a calculated decision that the Muslim Brotherhood front groups and the Muslim Brotherhood themselves is not here to assimilate into our way of life, into the American society. And they obviously do not accept the United States Constitution as the Bill of Rights, as the rights of the individual, since the Muslim Brotherhood clearly says that their constitution is the Quran.
Right. Their motto is, quote, Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, Quran is our law, jihad is our way, dying in the way of Allah is our highest hope.
Dying in the way of Allah is their highest hope. That goes for the jihad is their way. And jihad is not an inner struggle either.
Well, inner struggle in how to die. Because you have to die first in order to get more brownie points to get up into paradise.
isn't it Meatloaf writing about paradise? Paradise but a dashboard light?
Yeah. Well,
it's not the same, I guess.
It's better.
Yeah, when you look at this, when you read, you actually read the Quran, and you read the verses inside the Quran, it's very telling as to where these so-called radicalized individuals, these radicalized Somalis, these radicalized males ages 18 to 35 are becoming radicalized.
I don't know.
But
well,
we have a
radicalized caller on the line. I believe it's Oh My Gotti.
Oh My Gotti.
Hey, guys.
Is that the Kuwaiti Gotti?
I thought I had the wrong number. As soon as the phone connected, it said something about the inner struggle and the life of jihad and Allah is our way. I was getting all excited. I was going to do my call and everything. So. How are
you?
Get down on your rug, will you?
Oh, I'm on my rug.
Oh, okay.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay.
Great.
I don't know what you discussed for the first. I don't know what you were talking about for the first 15 minutes there. So forgive me. I'm kind of like coming in blind here.
No, we were talking about the. We're sending our condolences and our thoughts and prayers out to the people of Japan, and anybody who has relatives of Japanese people. What happened? Friday is absolutely incredibly devastating, and we're seeing the pictures, and there's everything is unfolding. You know, it started out with 100 people that were dead, and now we're looking at thousands. And I heard the last report I heard was possibly 10,000 people, and whole towns are missing of people.
Yeah,
and unaccounted
it's gonna go up. The numbers are gonna go up, and I just. And don't anybody misunderstand what I'm about to say here, but I thank God that something like that was a natural, unforeseen disaster. Thank God that there's still this going on throughout the world where there are people behind it in the name of Islam. And as bad as everything is in Japan, and I have family that is married to people from Japan. My brother's wife is right off the boat from Japan, and she has family in Japan. You know, just thank God that even with everything that's happened, that it wasn't terror. Because that's my biggest fear, is something that massive, if these individuals were to get themselves a hold of a dirty bomb or a nuclear weapon. And that's the same kind of scale we'll be talking about if it ever happens. And, condolences to everyone who knows anyone and has anyone, any family at all in Japan, definitely.
Yeah, it's really sad, and we were watching all the riots in the streets and the looting of stores in Tokyo, Kyoto, and those cities and towns around there, but we couldn't find any video of any of that happening, unlike Hurricane Katrina. Huh.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? I'll tell you, they've got a heck of a system over there. I was talking to my sister-in-law, who I said is from Japan, just last night. She finally got her hold of her mother. God bless her. Her mom is 86 years old, lives just outside of Tokyo, and lives alone. And, of course, they were all panicked because they couldn't get a hold of her over the weekend. But she explained to me that they have a system in Japan, which is just, it's just so common sense and so easy. It's a volunteer system. It's set up through the government. And for each and every individual that's of a certain age, and I don't know what the age is, that lives alone, be it older couples or just single men or women who are old, they have someone assigned to them from the town or village that they live in to look after them. They have to check in on them once a day. They have to make sure they're okay, they're fed, their heat, their air, whatever they need. And if it had not been for this system, they never would have even found out or known that her mom was doing well. So it's real interesting because the whole culture is set up so differently. There's so much more, what word can you use to describe it?
Community?
Even beyond unity, it's the pride
community.
That they
community.
Have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't see the looting, and you don't, you know, instead they're out there helping each other. Not that that didn't happen in this country after 9/11, but like you said, look at what happened
right
after Katrina. You just don't see that over there. They have so much more dignity, I guess is the word, and that I was looking for. So, you know, it's a totally different culture. There's no doubt about it, but we can learn a lot from the Japanese in that sense.
Mm. We've got a caller on line too, Vito. Caller?
All right, well, keep it clean. Welcome to Radio Jihad.
This is Holger.
Holger! Mamma mia, no Sharia.
Hey, Vito. Hey, Alan. Hey, Gotti.
How are you?
How you doing?
Doing well. I had to call in because I wanted to share a little experience. This won't be lengthy, but a little experience I had yesterday on Blog Talk Radio that I think you'll find most enlightening. I was bopping around looking for a show to listen to, and there's a under Politics Conservative, there's a show that features a conservative and a liberal as the hosts. And the title of the show yesterday was, Is There Really a Problem with Muslim Radicalization in America? And I'll read the intro to the show. It's really, really brief. It says, today we will be doing a 90-minute show on the congressional hearings for Muslim radicalization. Are these hearings necessary, and is there really a problem in America? We will have special guests today talking about this issue and having an honest and open conversation about it. So I log into the show. I'm interested, obviously. I get into the show, and I'm, you know, like a half an hour late to the show, and I hear these guys talking about how absolutely ridiculous these hearings are, that it's an affront to an entire population in the country, and blah, 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 blah. And, of course, I just, like, frickin' lose it. And so I call in. And, you know, right as I'm calling in, they're saying, well, you know, it's funny, we all agree on this thing, and it's too bad we didn't have somebody with an opposing veto. And, you know, usually I can keep my cool really good, but I absolutely lost it on these guys. I get into this. I basically said, how can you possibly question these hearings after what we've been through? When you've got a Times Square bomber, when you've got a Portland bomber, when you've got a Dallas bomber, when you've got a cell being discovered every other week. I mean, I went through this whole list. And you know what their response was to me?
What?
How come, then, we don't have any investigations, congressional investigations, for abortion clinic bombers?
Very big epidemic there.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So the next thing was, the expert that was on the phone at the time comes back with, let me ask you this, how many investigations did we have on the Timothy McVeigh bombing in Oklahoma City? And it went downhill from there. And I mean, literally, I was screaming at these guys. They were screaming back. It got another guy joined me on the phone, another conservative joined me on the phone. He was screaming at him. The guy on the host is literally saying, shut up, everybody. So the part of the reason I bring it up is they got into this 10-minute rant about the fact that the only reason that the U.S. is experiencing any kind of terrorism is because of what we've done overseas. It's all because of the U.S. actions in Saudi Arabia and Afghanistan, that this is why they hate us. And I'm like going crazy about they hate us because, you know, we're infidels, you know, read the Quran, do some research, blah, 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 blah. So I finally typed into the chat room box, I typed in, you guys need to get over to Radio Jihad on Mondays and Tuesdays and learn something.
Was there a conservative voice, Holger?
I found out later that the conservative on this show apparently is what I would call a Ron Paultard. Okay. So he's a Ron Paul person who, of course, that's where this angle was about the only reason that we have problems with Islam in America is because of this, it's all our fault kind of thing. So anyway, I'm going to put the link to the show in your into the chat room. So I don't want anybody. I don't really want them to get any hits over there, but it's a classic.
Holder.
Oh. Yep.
Let me fill you in. The next time you get on, you see a show like that and you hear stuff like that, give you just a couple of this information because you got to call in. First of all, there was congressional hearings on the abortion bombings. People seem to forget that, but the guy that blew up the Atlanta Olympic Games was the same guy blowing up abortion clinics, and they did do investigations and oversight committees on that. That's number one. They definitely did them on Timothy McVeigh. There's no doubt there. And as far as the reason that they hate us, I love when people say that to me. You can go all the way back in history to the Barbary Coast when John Adams was in office, and the Muslims were doing the same thing to us then. So tell me what our foreign policy was back in the late 1700s, early 1800s. So when these people have comments like that, call in and give them a rash.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it wasn't one of my finer moments because I was in a testy mood to begin with, and I thought, and all I could think about is I expect this crap from the liberal, but supposedly here's a conservative with the same view, and here's some expert with the same view, and I mean it was just. But anyway, at least I threw a little monkey wrench into their show. It's at the tail end of the show and so forth. But I guess the sad thing about this, quite frankly, the serious part of it is that kind of mindset. I mean, it's like we make one step forward and four steps backwards with that kind of I mean, these guys were absolutely just ripping Representative King on this whole thing, and they made the comment, why is this so important to Representative King? And I said, well, maybe it's because he's a rep from New York, and half the city of New York's been either been killed or attempted to have been killed by the terrorists. But it was just insane.
Well, Gotti had pulled up a few sound clips from those hearings. Here is Dr. Zudi Jasser.
I, as a Muslim, I need this conversation. If we're going to fix this cancer that's within the whole viable, wonderful, beautiful faith that I practice, we need to be able to talk about it. It's like trying to treat cancer without saying the word. It's not Islam, but it's jihadism. It's Islamism. It's a political entity that we can fight on the web very well. But we've been absent. We've surrendered the Constitution to the jihadists.
Do you see these as isolated cases, or is it part of a systemic problem in the Muslim American community? And if it is, how would that be impacted as far as mosques, as far as care, and as far as overseas funding?
Chairman King, I can't underscore how important this question is. Is this simply anecdotes, like a crime problem, or is there a systemic problem? Now, first thing we need to say is that the vast majority of mosques are places that all of our families go worship, patriotic Americans like every other cross-section of America, and not only are they not a threat, but would report anything that they see. Having said that, though, we have a problem internally. Where is that? It's a minority, but there's an ideology that exists in some mosques. Not all, not a majority, but in some mosques, and it's a significant number. And what I'm talking about is not the violent part. We need to change that paradigm from simply talking about violence. It is about that separatism, that idea that the Islamic State takes precedence, Islamic law takes precedence over American law. So if you look, for example, mosques that I've seen a sermon in Phoenix where one of the largest mosques, they held up one of CARE's pictures, and the picture said something extremely insulting about American soldiers and what they're doing in Iraq. And you can't tell me that that doesn't have an impact upon radicalizing Muslims at that mosque. Now, is that free speech? Absolutely. Do their civil rights need to be protected? Absolutely. But there should have been a huge protest from people in that mosque that what he did violated and offended us as Americans. But there wasn't. There was silence. So I think it's time, and this platform that we have here and on should be a platform to awaken the silent Muslim majority that exists there, that love this country, to start to do some self-repair rather than turning a blind eye and pointing fingers to other faiths. Funding is also an issue. There's a lot of consolidation of thought within mosques. And one of the other things I think is important for the committee to understand is that our population is extremely diverse. But yet in this country, the groups that seem to represent us are those that are mobilized based on being an Islamic lobby, which is really part of political Islam. Most of our families left that political Islamic party mentality in the Middle East and came here to be part of a political infrastructure that separates church and state. So to say that, well, how do we engage those Muslims? Where are they? They're hard to get to because they don't want to be involved in Islamic or Muslim organizations because they separate mosque and state. So I think it's important that we make that distinction. Now, looking at the Islamists as a group, again, not all, violence is a small part of their mentality. But yet, as you look at the bigger part, they facilitate the concept that the Islamic State is supremacist, is better, Islamic law should be part of government. All this needs reform, and only we can do that. And some of the mosques, for example, get funding and have a common source of ownership called the North American Islamic Trust, listed as an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation trial. They hold deed to some, they quote 300 mosques on their website, some say up to 50% of mosques. And yet if you look at some of the teachings that the Islamic Society of North America and a few others endorse, they're associated, and I put this in my testimony, some of their imams are associated with the Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America. So along with some of that funding that came originally from petrodollars in the 70s, comes, I think, an ideology that is pervasive with Wahhabism, which is a fundamentalist Islamist strain, or Islamism as an entity, or political Islam. Very different from Islam as a faith, I believe. We still have to go through that enlightenment process and that reform, but you can't disconnect the funding. And there have been committees in this House that have studied that. The Judiciary Committee and the Senate studied the funding issue of mosques in 2003. I think that is a whole other issue. But I do think along with it comes apologetics, a lack of reform, and a sense of basically trying to evangelize Islam rather than trying to internalize American ideals into our faith, which is two different things, so it's a significant problem.
I'd like to be a beneficiary of his life insurance policy.
Hey, Alan and Vito.
Yes.
Can I take a minute here to read a statement from... Well, I'll just read the statement, and then you'll be able to figure out from the end of the statement who it's from.
Okay.
You guys probably have done this yet. This came out the day after the hearings, and I'll quote. I'm going to read this statement. Over the last decade, many sad and seriously misguided steps have been taken in the name of fighting terrorism. Yesterday in Congress, we witnessed a disappointing and alarming addition to that list. Congressman Peter King, Representative Republican of New York, called a high-profile hearing on the, quote, radicalization of Muslim Americans. We know and we should know that no good can come from needlessly targeting an entire religious community. This hearing and the series of additional ones that Representative King has indicated he will hold won't make America any safer, but will leave us more divided. Despite pleas from civil rights groups and law enforcement officials regarding these dangerous and divisive hearings, Representative King is determined to move forward. Today, I hope you'll amplify the outcry regarding these discriminatory hearings and sign the ACLU's Stop Targeting Religious Minorities pledge. Representative King is using his powerful post as the head of the Homeland Security Committee to subject the entire American Muslim community to public scrutiny through discriminatory hearings based on prejudicial ideas that wrongly equate belief in Islam with terrorism. It's as simple as this. Congress has no business singling out the religious beliefs of one group of Americans. That's why the ACLU is demanding that Representative King cease holding these hearings that target any specific religious or ideological group based on unsubstantiated theories of radicalization. Let's make it clear that protecting our First Amendment freedoms will both honor our values and keep us safe. This kind of discrimination won't end unless you and the ACLU put a stop to it. Together, we have to make sure Congress honors the Constitution's promise of equality. Anthony Romero, Executive Director, ACLU. Now, notice.
I wonder if the
I got to just point out the one thing, because I tried to emphasize it while I was reading. But notice he said, holding hearings that target any specific religious or ideological group. I'm sorry, is he implying that Islam is an ideological group? Or did I just misunderstand that? Is he referring to any ideological group? Because, you know, if I want to go out and start a religion that kills puppies, that could be my ideology, couldn't it? They couldn't target me. God, that's stupidity.
I wonder if the ACLU is going to disclose their donations list, who is the major contributors of their chapters and of the ACLU itself.
I wonder if the ACLU is going to disclose how he came to the conclusion, as the executive director of the ACLU, that these reports are unsubstantiated. I'm sorry. Let's see. The Fort Hood shooter in touch with the imam in Yemen. The SUV bomber in Times Square in New York in touch with the imam in Yemen. The underwear bomber in touch with the imam in Yemen. But again, it's unsubstantiated.
Maybe that's the ideological portion of it, Gotti. That's the ideological phase of the religion.
Idiot logical is more like it. You're right. I think you said it right the first time. It's idiot logic.
Okay, well, can
I'm
we take
sorry,
a call
that
right
my
now?
Soapbox. You know I do that once every show. I have to get on my soapbox and get my venting out, and that was it right there. So I apologize. I'm done.
No, that's cool. That was a very good article to read. A very good statement to read, because it really identifies where the ACLU is located, what their position is. And suddenly this is supposed to be an outrageous attempt to single out one particular group over another.
Well, here's the kicker for you, Vito. I've often spoken on this show about my bleeding heart liberal mother. My bleeding heart liberal mother emailed me that statement, titled the email, "A Sad Day in Washington," and I thought she was agreeing with him and that it was a sad day in Washington until I read the email from her, because at the bottom she said, "Good luck. This is what you're up against."
Wow.
So even my bleeding heart liberal mother can see the connection. You know, there is some substantiation here to the connection between radicalization, if you want to use that term, of these so-called people or Muslims in the United States and Islam. But, you know, hey, that's just my opinion. You know, what do I know? Not like I've studied it or anything.
Yeah, you have a very intelligent mother, by the way.
Yeah, she's
hey,
a
we have
baby
a...
when she's right.
We have a caller on the line, a Mr. 10, who's concerned about MS-13. So I'm going to put him on and see where he's going to go with this. Good evening. Welcome to Radio Jihad.
Hello. How are you doing? We can forget about MS-13. There's so many different directions this conversation can go. I want for Peter King to stop wasting people's taxpayer money. This is just for political stuff. And basically, radicalization is what he's calling it. Look, I'm going to look. This is an educational moment, and I said educational intentionally, yeah. But all joking aside, look, this radical Islam stuff, look, there are enough Muslims in this country to start a civil war. Look, the people that convert to, like, that nut out in Fort Hood and the guy that scoped out the bridge in Ohio and these people, the underwear bomb. These are people who are mentally ill. You know this. This is what jihadism has become. It's become something that people who have mentally ill, deranged, suicidal inclinations now have a, you know, they have a cause. But if there were no such thing as radical Islam, these people would still be bad people. They would be the type of people that would go into a house and shoot their wife and then shoot themselves in the head, which happens
all
the time.
They just happen to be all devout Muslims. Just a coincidence.
I've got a question.
And not convert.
Wait, I got a question. I want the caller to explain to me the difference. If he's right, then tell
that
me.
I am.
All right, then tell me if that's correct. What about a Jewish guy who's living in America who decides, you know, I think I want to go to Israel and join the army? Is that the same thing? He is crazy as the guy that you're saying just happened to find jihad?
If he wants to go to Israel and join the army, that's not any more crazy than someone from Idaho joining the American army. I'm not sure what you're talking about. But
what I'm trying to point out to you, sir, is that if you're already a Muslim, you believe in that ideology, it's the same in their mind as joining the army.
Wait.
And you've just made my point for me.
No.
My point is they're not sick. They're following their holy book.
Then
just
why don't
like
we
a
have
Jew,
a no. Why don't we have a civil war going on in the country then?
Because what is being committed is called stealth jihad, which is exactly what they were told to do.
Stealth jihad. Enlighten me about that.
Oh boy, I can see where this is going. Vito, Alan, somebody take this.
Never mind stealth jihad, whatever it is. I mean, I've never heard of that. By the way, you guys might be surprised.
What the co-founder of CARE said, Vito.
The co-founder of CARE, Omar Ahmad, said that Islam is not in America to be equal but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. And that's word for word, quote, for Omar Ahmad, the co-founder of CARE.
Right.
Go ahead. You have a question?
No. I'll just get ready to say there's absolutely no way. Look, you guys can't possibly feel threatened by whoever the co-founder of CARE. Look.
Comment on the comment and don't tell me what you think I feel. Please. Thank you.
Okay. It's nonsense. I'm not going to lose any sleep over what some guy who may be a nut said about Islam taking over America.
So far, every Muslim is a nut to you who voices an opinion, and there are many. So what is it? Muslim attracts nuts? Is that what you're telling me? Is it Islam?
No, I didn't say
nuts?
That. I just said. No, I didn't. I said that if every Muslim were what you all were saying, there would be a civil war in America because of the large number of Muslims
in the country. Is there a civil war going on in Europe? In fact, the only place where I see Muslim civil wars going on are in Egypt, Yemen, Bahrain.
Places where you're taxpayer money and... Places where your tax money and my tax money are propping up dictators like Mubarak. And by the way, let me ask you all something.
Go ahead.
Don't you all think it's curious that we give the third largest recipient of foreign aid, your taxpayer money, my taxpayer money, it ticks me off, goes to the Palestinian territories, and the number one is Israel, and they're supposed to be fighting a war against one another. Can anyone say war industrial complex? I mean, otherwise, why are we giving money to Palestine? I mean, seriously, who in their right mind thinks that that money isn't, the taxpayer money, once again, isn't trickling down into the hands of Hamas, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade?
Sir, we discuss this. I would like your opinion on the massacre of the Israeli family that just took place.
Oh, I heard about that. What do you think my opinion is? It's terrible.
What about the Palestinians that are handing out candy in the streets in honor of that massacre? Are they all nuts?
Yes, of course. But what about all the ones that aren't? That's my point. I mean, yes, the people who are doing that, hey, look, I'm not as different. I'm not as different from, I don't have, my opinions aren't as different from yours as you probably think. All I'm saying is that I think that, by the way,
the only way you're defending the Muslims is by calling them nuts. That's the only thing that you've done so far in this phone call.
The Muslims. You're defending your position.
Hold on. Cut off Vito. Vito was going to say something. Vito?
Go ahead, Vito.
No, go ahead. You had said that you were right. I was just making the same point, Al. Go ahead. I'm kind of confused to where he's going because you're jumping all around and you're trying to answer the question, but you're not. And then you're indicting us for what our opinion is.
Let me jump in real quick if I could, because obviously our opinion is different than his. I just have a couple questions. Two, as a matter of fact. Question number one, are you aware that since 9/11, there have been 16,936 terrorist attacks all carried out in the name of Islam? Were you aware of that? That is a fact.
Look. We can say the
just
very
yes or
same.
No. You're aware of it. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm not calling you names. I just want to know if you were aware of that. 7,000 attacks in 10 years.
No, that's what people who don't have a strong argument do.
I'm not saying it. That was just one question. I said I had two. It's not a strong argument. Well, I don't see 16,000 attacks by Jews or Buddhists.
Am I surprised?
You're telling me that all of these Muslims are crazy.
Am I surprised to hear that? No. Look, if Muslims hate freedom and all,
But why does it not surprise you? You said that the people become radicalized are going to probably have done it anyway, and it's the same kind of guy who's going to come home and shoot his family. So you're telling me that 17,000 different incidents all were taking place by people that probably would have gone nuts anyway. So why does it not surprise you?
Yeah, sure, like the over 100,000 that were killed in Iraq. But, look, if they hate freedom so much. Never mind that. Look, I was going to say something about this. What about all of those people that rose up against Mubarak? Do you think all those aren't terrorists? I mean, there wouldn't be Christian people living over there if they were. So all I'm saying once again is that, yes, there's a terrorist threat. In case you guys wonder, yes. But I just What's that?
You asked a question. Can I answer your question about the Christians that rose up against Mubarak and there wouldn't be Christians living there?
Oh, they weren't all Christian. No, that's wrong.
No. I didn't say all Christians. I'm pointing out, you're correct. There are Christians, Coptic Christians and Christians that live in Egypt. You're absolutely right. Are you aware of how they live and that they are considered second-class citizens and they have to pay a special tax in order to not believe in Islam? Are you aware of that?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
There's an awful lot that I'm pointing out to you that points to the fact that we're correct, and your answer is you're not surprised.
No.
Anyway.
Most definitely not correct.
Anyway, Warlord X.
I wouldn't be surprised
Warlord X, you believe that the Muslim Brotherhood is secular anyway.
Oh, my God.
You don't even know what you're talking about. You said on my show that the Muslim Brotherhood, the Father of Mar, is almost fascism is secular.
The Muslim Brotherhood is secular. But, Benjamin Solomon, I should have known. Hello, Ben. By the way, Ben.
He just called. He just called our show, so he heard your voice your non-answers, and he just
Warlord
had to call
X
up the...
Ben and I,
That is Warlord X. He's an apologist of the Muslim Brotherhood. He believes that it's secular.
No, Ben.
He wants the modern
right-wing.
I'm not even going to get into the Muslim Brotherhood or secular or non-secular. I said I had two questions, and I only got to ask you one about terror. My second question is this, very simply. Have you ever read the Quran, honestly?
Oh, yeah, sure. And the New Testament.
The whole Quran.
No.
Okay.
Enough of it
to
realize.
I want you to do me and yourself a favor. I want you to read it. And then I want to
I've heard a lot of it. It's crazy. That's why I told you in the beginning of the conversation that I don't ascribe to any. But the New Testament has things about stoning and craziness and this, that, and the other. And
tell me what the New Testament says about stoning. What did Jesus say about that? I'm Jewish. Enlighten me. You tell me where it says that we should stone people.
Oh, I can't quote the police, but did you all know that it's there, though? And there are a lot of other crazy.
Did you know how many times the word love is mentioned in the Quran?
I don't know. Well,
it's supposed to get way too complicated for me.
The Quran
love in the Quran is mentioned. It's mentioned one time. Do you know in which context it's mentioned? Those who love Allah will fight jihad. Those who love Allah will fight for jihad. That is the only time the word love is mentioned. Now, you're going to tell me that in the New Testament or the Old Testament, love is not mentioned hundreds of times in a totally different context? These people are not crazy. They're subscribing to their book. They're being good Muslims. Plain and simple.
No.
God, that Muhammad is nuts for saying that. That's all I got to say. He is nuts.
He may have been. I don't know if he was or not. But I think a very small percentage.
Holy mackerel.
No, a very small percentage.
Warlord X. Hey,
yes,
Warlord
Ben.
X. Here's what Surah 929 of the Quran says. I read this on my show before. Quote, fight those who believe not in Allah in the last day and do not forbid what Allah and his messenger have forbidden, such men as practice not the religion of truth, being of those who have been given the book, i.e. Jews and Christians, until they pay tribute out of hand and have been humbled, end quote. But here's the thing. Warlord X hates America anyway. He thinks he's going to go somewhere in Africa and build a nation. But he has the intelligence to blow out of a beaver when it comes
to building a nation.
He thinks the Muslim Brotherhood is secular. That's
Ben,
how uninformed and ignorant he is.
Hold
on a second. Let me ask Warlord Tennant here. What do you believe the Muslim Brotherhood is? Do you believe that they should be at the bargaining table in Egypt? Because you've mentioned that Hosni Mubarak.
Yes. First of all, for two reasons.
Oh my God.
Because first of all, they're going to be there anyway. But second of all. I'm in all Zawahiri, that's a nut, and Bin Laden, another nut. They despise the Muslim Brotherhood because they're no different than the Christian Coalition. You know, yes, there might be some extremists, nuts, just like those Jonesberry people that protest outside of the funerals of slain soldiers because. Well, never mind them. It pisses me off to even think about them.
So
if they're all
nuts, Malcolm Tin, why are you defending them like this? It's disgraceful. I feel humiliated for you.
No, I'm
they're
not defending
the Muslim Brotherhood, Warlord X. You're defending the Muslim Brotherhood.
No, Ben. Why do you always say that,
dude,
Ben?
Dude, because you are. You say they're secular. Dude, let me give you some facts. Ayman al-Zawahiri and Bin Laden disagree with the Muslim Brotherhood over tactics. They have the same goal, their totalitarian form of Islam dominate the world. They have the same goal, which is that the Muslim Brotherhood is willing to destroy the free world from within, as their documents call for. You know the 1991 Muslim Brotherhood memo calls for destroying Western civilization from within and having Islam being victorious over all other religions. The Muslim Brotherhood has the same goals of Al-Qaeda. It's just that Al-Qaeda, the only difference is that the Muslim Brotherhood is willing to destroy the free world from within, and the Muslim Brotherhood uses the political process, whereas Al-Qaeda just uses bombs everywhere. That's the only difference, and that makes the Muslim Brotherhood more dangerous.
There may be factions of the Muslim Brotherhood that are like that, but
the whole movement is like that.
No, I don't believe that.
The movement was founded The movement was established by Hassan al-Banna to revive political Islam and its goal of world conquest, because political Islam was in decline with the dissolution of the Ottoman Empire, with the rise of people like Kemal Ataturk, who had no time for political Islam. He wants to have a separation of mosque and state. And then Hassan al-Banna came along, and then he started up the Muslim Brotherhood in order to revive political Islam and to have political Islam conquer the world. Hassan
Now, Malcolm Penn, let me ask you this question. You say that the that Al-Zawahiri...
Wait a minute. I'm here to... Malcolm
Penn. Hey, Malcolm.
Malcolm. Always calls
show,
me Malcolm.
Malcolm. Malcolm, show respect to the host. Do not overtalk the host. We're going to hang up on you.
Okay,
be good. Submit.
No. I don't submit to anybody. I'm superior to you all. Have a nice day.
Malcolm, I'm warning you once.
He's going,
he already hung up.
He couldn't take it.
Well, anyway,
here's a guy.
Along with collagenesis. Here's
a guy who doesn't want to listen. On one hand, you know, as Ben was pointing out, that he was with regards to the 2007 memo that was uncovered by the FBI that was written in 1998 with the Muslim Brotherhood's intent with the United States of America, and of course that was brushed off. You know, how much more proof do these people need to show what the intent of Islam is? You know, we talked about, Gotti, you rightly asked about the repeating the CARES, the co-founder of CARES statement, Islam is not in America to be equal but to become dominant. Then you have the explanatory memorandum that was uncovered by the FBI during a raid at a Muslim's home in Virginia, in Falls Church, Virginia. He was the leader of the United States Muslim Brotherhood, who wrote that explanatory memorandum. Now, these are all facts. How much more facts do we in the United States need in order to know and understand what the intent is of Islam in the United States? We already got the picture of what's going to happen in looking at France and looking at the United Kingdom. What more do we need? And now we got this guy here who's actually has a screw loose, who's talking about the Muslim Brotherhood needs to come to the table because they're going to come there anyways. That's not an excuse. That's not a way you build a country. You build a charter. You build a constitution because somebody's there. I mean, can you imagine if Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and John Hancock said, well, you know what? Because that guy with the KKK is here, let's put him in there. That's just retarded. Oh, my Lord.
Exactly.
Holy
exactly. Mackerel. Welcome to my world. Exactly. Warlord X is an idiot. Welcome to my world. Welcome
yous
to my
all
world.
Nuts. Every one of you is a nut. Y'all's nuts. You nuts.
And then he wouldn't let anybody speak. It's like, you know, then he wants to answer a question, and he can't answer a question. How many questions did you pose to him, Gotti? Two. How many did he answer? Zero. But he did pose about 15 other questions in trying to answer it, or 15 other topics. Jesus Christ.
Just because I answer a question with a question does not mean you should question me in that tone of voice.
All right, let's try to make some of the callers now.
He brings up
a very valid point, which we all need to admit, and that is
that
there are millions more like him that believe the same thing he does throughout the world, and that is going to be the end of us if we don't educate them. Exactly.
But
you know what?
We've got to just
ignore what he says because it's just utter stupidity. Warlord X hates America anyway. He believes it's an evil white nation to begin with, and he believes that the Muslim Brotherhood is secular.
Right, and we're not going to turn every single person to agreeing with us, especially in a 5-minute phone call. Now, for those that are interested, on my show on Thursday night on America Akbar from 8 to 10, this Thursday, we are going to take the entire 2 hours, and we are going to do an entire 2 hours of how to answer the common questions about Islam and how to educate people without fighting or getting in an argument. So it should be a good show. And I want everybody to tune in for that.
That's a very good plan, Scotty. That's a good way to.
I mean, that's a good way of looking at it.
Here's
the questions we're going to be covering. When people say it's just a small minority of extremists, we're going to be covering how to answer that. When someone says, "But my friend's a Muslim and he's really nice," we're going to be answering that. When someone says, "Well, what you're saying is racist," we're going to be answering that. When someone says, and I'm scrolling down through all my answers to get to the next question, aren't you being religiously intolerant? People in this country have a right to worship as they please. We're going to answer that. Let's see, what else have we got? Christianity is just as bad. We're going to answer that. Not all Muslims are terrorists. We're going to answer that. We can't go to war with 1.3 billion Muslims. We're going to answer that. So, I mean, question after question after question. Are you an Islamophobe? We're going to answer that. Isn't this bigotry? We're going to answer that. Aren't you a hate monger? I don't want to promote hatred. You should really talk to some Muslims. You're only quoting from books. There's peaceful passages in the Quran, too. People take what they want from writing. You're just quoting it out of context. We are going to go over each and every one of these sentences, and this is my personal favorite. There are millions of Muslims in this country, and they're not blowing things up. We are going to cover every single objection that someone might give you in a rational conversation, starting with how to talk to them, rather than debating, rather than fighting, how to educate. And the entire 2 hours is going to be dedicated to that.
Gotti, Holger in the chat room has a question. He wants to know, what about when someone says, quote, "My friend wears a burqa because it makes her look skinny"? How do you respond?
It only makes her look skinny if she's not wearing a body bomb underneath it.
Good one.
What kind of question is that? It makes her look skinny. Tell her not to go to Afghanistan, because over there they wear blue ones instead of black, and the black will hide your fat better. Oh, Lord. But anyway, we're going to cover how to talk to people, how to educate, what words to use, what words not to use, how to combat every possible argument you can get. And I hope people share this and call into the show. If they disagree or if they can come up with an answer to our answers, give us ideas. You know, I want people to call in and say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense, or that won't hold any water, and here's the reason why. That's what I'm looking for. I want people to call in and get educated. So I'm really looking forward, and hopefully Vito and Alan will call in.
You know, Gotti, that's a really good slant, though, that this guy, and guys, this is what this guy, Malcolm Tend, was putting on this whole issue. It's a waste of taxpayer money, and on one hand you can say, I understand what these people are doing, but, you know, whatever, but it's a waste of taxpayer money. So that's another good orchestrated way to discount and sanitize and legitimize Islam. You know, just like Holger said, all the buzzwords that they're using, like affront, ridiculous, you know, this because of what we're doing overseas is why they hate us. You know, so now it looks like there's an all-out assault against the United States on a couple of different fronts. Now, Peter King opened up that door, and then you have the other issues of bigotry and crap in the United States with Islam. But there's a test ground right now. The test ground's real simple. Look at France. Look at the United Kingdom. Look at Norway. Look at Austria. Look at Belgium.
Germany.
Exactly.
Australia.
Australia, and they're trying to put the kibosh to that? Yes.
You're looking at the United States 10, 15 years from now, if we don't get wise, at the exact same thing.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not that you're blowing smoke, but, you know, you sit there and you've identified who the enemy is. The Muslim Brotherhood, which was started by Hassan Abana in 1928, all the way up to his disciple, Sayyid Qutb, in the 60s. And now you have Haiman al-Zawahiri, who's allowed back into Egypt after Hosni Mubarak kept him out. And he banned the Muslim Brotherhood for 30 years, but they're allowed back. you have the Obama administration legitimizing the Muslim Brotherhood, and we're supposed to believe that the protests in Tahrir Square in Cairo were all orchestrated by the people who believe in democracy. But we're going to bring the Muslim Brotherhood to the table and allow them to create a constitution and to have a say into the constitution. It's just, it's hogwash. It's all smoke screens. Oh, my God. And then this guy is going all over the place. He's hitting 52 different subjects with one question. It's a yes or a no question. Don't give us a damn diatribe. It's a yes or a no answer.
Well,
how hard is it to say, no, Gotti, yes, Gotti?
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, anyway, Warlord X keeps on saying, well, Bin Laden and al-Zawahiri left the Muslim Brotherhood. Oh, they don't like the Muslim Brotherhood. It's a simple disagreement over tactics. It's just that it's just the Al-Qaeda, Bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri, they just don't want to use the political process. They're just not destroying us from within. They just want to put bombs everywhere, whereas the Muslim Brotherhood is willing to also destroy us from within, and they're willing to use the political process. But what they want, but what the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda want are exactly the same thing.
What do you mean?
Saying the Muslim Brotherhood is secular is like saying the Soviet Union wasn't communist. That's how absurd it is.
Benjamin, can you plug your show for our listeners?
My show, you know, I mean, it's under Right Wing Jew Benjamin Solomon anyway.
No, we don't know. That's why you need to plug it. This is a plug. I'm throwing you a plug. Yeah, what's the name of your show, Benjamin?
Cross promotion,
brother.
My show is Right Wing Jew Benjamin Solomon.
And what day and time?
I mean, I'll do it when I find time. I'll sometimes, you know, like do it near the evening, basically, you know. But the last episode, but I'll tell you about the last episode I did is called Benjamin Solomon's Truth Zone, you know, where I talked about, of course, you know, I mean, I talked about that ruthless terrorist attack on the innocent. Heroic Israeli settlement, and of course, I also talked about the besieged wanting to destroy the tombs of Esther and Mordecai. That's what I did in the last episode. But my show, you can see it under the profile Right Wing Jew Benjamin Solomon. I'll put the URL of my profile in the chat room here.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Please do, because that was, you know, Al, that particular issue with the Palestinians brutally attacking was it in Jerusalem, was absolutely a disgusting, treacherous, murderous slaughter of innocent people, and Bare Naked Islam has an article on it, including some pictures. And I warn each and every person, if you go on that website, Bare Naked Islam, and want to read the article, the pictures are quite graphic. To kill little kids is absolutely abhorrent. That shows that they value death over life. How could you kill a child like the way they did? I mean, that is just, it's an abhorrent display of barbarity.
Exactly. The Palestinians are barbaric terrorists, generally speaking, basically. Sure, not all Arabs in the territories. Thank God there are people like Walid Shubat, he was a former PLO terrorist, but now he saw the light, and now he's bringing the truth. And there are people like Tafsir Kamil who do have peaceful interpretations of Islam, but just because not all Muslims are terrorists does not mean that Islam is a religion of peace. Islam's major institutions promote terrorism. Al-Azhar University is one of the biggest terroristic institutions ever.
Al-Aqsa in Cairo, Egypt, you're talking about, correct?
Yeah, I'm talking about Al-Azhar University in Cairo, Egypt. But I mean, but the problem is we have too many apologists of Islamic terrorism on Blog Talk Radio, like that clown warlord X, We also have Carla Genesis, Brother K, Perry Steele, and these other apologists of Islamic terrorism. They basically believe that you're a racist if you want to have a tough response against terrorism or you want to commit a genocide or something along those lines.
I didn't realize that Islam was a race.
Huh. But these people basically play the race card. They play the race card.
Hey, Vito?
Yeah.
But exactly, I mean, basically, thanks to the politically correct left, we're being told basically that we have to believe that everything Muhammad did is right. And that's going to, and if I was to say that Muhammad did no wrong, I'd be lying. Why should I, as a Jew, say that everything he did was right when he ethnically cleansed Medina of Jews to begin with? Jews built Medina, and oh, it's not enough that they steal Medina from the Jews with their so-called prophet, who is some illiterate guy to begin with, well, I mean, he's worse than illiterate, but I mean, anyway, but you know what I'm saying. And now we're being asked to give up parts of biblical Israel to these Arab Muslim terrorists who want to destroy Israel anyway. I mean, this is nuts. This is nuts. I mean, this idea of a Palestinian state is so stupid. Wherever these Palestinian terrorists went, all they did was start violence and cause trouble. That's all they did. Jordan, during the Jordanian Civil War, they went around killing people on the streets, starting a whole civil war to turn Jordan into a terrorist base, into their own dictatorship. Then they went to Lebanon, did the same thing. And they even massacred innocent Christian men, women, and children in a Lebanese Christian village called Damour. The Palestinians don't value human life. The truth is, these Palestinians want to kill Jews, and they want to kill any Arab in the territories who wants peace. Because any Arab in the territories, can end up being a suspected collaborator and lynched as a result. So these terrorists want to kill innocent Jews. They want to kill Arabs who want peace. That's what these terrorist so-called Palestinians want.
Yes, and Benjamin is right. According to the story, Hamas accused the Palestinian Authority's security apparatus of arresting three of its activists nearby Qalqilya and Jenin. Quote, "The report of five murdered Israelis is not enough to punish someone," close quote, stated Hamas spokesperson Sami Abu Zuri, adding, "However, we in the Hamas completely support the resistance against settlers who murder and use crime and terror against the Palestinian people under the auspices of the Israeli occupation soldiers. Now, despite these comments and activities of the PA, the Palestinian Authority, an unverified report indicates that the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, the military wing of Fatah, the party of Abbas, is taking credit for the killings. Now, what makes this fact so interesting is that the Palestinian Authority and Abbas are the main negotiating partners of the United States of America in dealing with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict."
Yes, if I can interject here real quick, Alan. Can I interject real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, Gadi.
I want to put this into simple terms for people listening. In Gaza, the ruling party is the group known as Hamas. In the West Bank, the ruling party is a group known as Fatah. Fatah is the quote-unquote peace partner with Israel. They're the ones that are supposedly more moderate. They're the ones that want peace. People need to understand there are two different parties. The Fatah movement is being run by, as Alan just explained, Abbas. Now, Abbas made a statement after this happened, and he stated that violence brings upon violence. I want to know the last time Israel went in and to the West Bank and did anything, because this took place on the West Bank, not near Gaza. People need to understand that. And the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, the same group that took credit for the bombing that I survived, is the same group that took credit for this, have taken credit for it. They have verbally come out and stated it. They are the military wing of the so-called peace partners of Israel. People need to put that into perspective. And since you brought it up, I just want to real quick, give the names and the ages of these people. Ruth Vogel, and if I know we've only got a few minutes left, so I'll read this fast. This is from the Jerusalem Post. Ruth Vogel was in the bathroom when Palestinian terrorists pounced on her husband, Udi, and their three-month-old daughter, Hadass, slitting their throats as they lay in bed on Friday night in their home in Itmal, which is in Samaria. The terrorists stabbed Ruth to death as she came out of the bathroom. With both parents and the newborn dead, they moved on to the other children, going into a bedroom where Ruth and Udi's sons, Yoav, age 11, and Elad, age 4, were sleeping. They stabbed them through their hearts. The terrorists missed another bedroom where their other sons, an 8-year-old and a child, were asleep, and they left them alive. They didn't see them. The boys were then found by their big sister. Now imagine this. A 12-year-old by the name of Tamar was visiting a friend, and when she came home, she found her family massacred. And when she came home, she found one of the younger children that had been left alone by accident screaming over her parents to wake up. This is what is going on over there. This is the so-called peace partner of Israel. I just had to get that off my chest, Alan. I'm sorry I interrupted. Go on.
No, very good. Thank you.
I was just going to read the Quran 4, verse 71. You who have believed, take your precautions. So go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. Sounds like they're going to war in separate groups in Israel, aren't they? In the West Bank?
And by the way, in a very rare move, Prime Minister Netanyahu and his cabinet released photos of the bodies, which is what you were talking about. There was a video of those photos, and it wasn't up on YouTube for 2 hours when it got pulled. And there was a site on Facebook with that video, and it got pulled, all within 2 hours. So here they debated whether or not to release this video and the photographs, and they've been pulled down. Now, you can go to my website and see it. You can go to my Facebook page and see it. Also, as Alan said, right afterwards, there was jubilation throughout Gaza and the West Bank where carnivals were being held, and they handed out sweets or candy for killing
You can go to Bare Naked Islam, and you can also read the article, and there are photos, still photos there. And I caution each and every one of you who go there, the pictures are quite graphic.
Yeah, these photos are not for children. If you don't think you can handle it, don't go. They did blur out the faces of the people. However, they are extremely graphic and extremely bloody, and they need to be seen so people can see what is truly in the minds of these people that supposedly are Israel's peace partner.
Gadi, I agree with you on this 100% because it's about time the Israelis start taking a more, and I hate to say this, but a proactive approach to this. They really need to show the world exactly what kind of monsters are being raised in Palestine and what kind of monsters these people, the ideology of Islam, is producing. And it's not just the attempted terrorist attacks in the United States. It's also what's going on around the world. How many Christians and Jews are being slaughtered at the hands of Islamists around the world and right over the border of Israel where people are living in peace? That's all they want. That's all we hear about, oh, we need to live in peace. And these people come across the border and they kill 5 innocent people, including a 2-year-old. They slit their throat. What kind of barbarism is that?
A 4-month-old.
A 4-month-old.
A baby. For God's sakes. Women and children have been doing this since day one. Go and Google terrorist acts against Israel and look at how many times it's been women and children. They target women and children. This is not a group that wants peace. This is not a group that you can negotiate with.
Go ahead, Al.
What kind of evil works in a man's heart to be able to stab a 4-year-old boy, slit the throat of a 4-month-old baby? I mean, in no war, even World War II, that was not that was a crime. That's a crime against humanity. But imagine an individual who could do that and live with themselves. They're evil. It's beyond evil. You can't negotiate with someone like that.
You know, Carolyn Glick, who writes for Family Security Matters, as I do, and she's also the editor of the Jerusalem Post, and mind you, the Jerusalem Post is a pretty liberal newspaper. She wrote the following. You might consider the fact that the Palestinian Authority anti-Jewish propaganda is so ambiguous and murderous that killing the Vogel babies was an act of heroism. The baby killers knew that by murdering Uday, Ruth, Hadas, Yoav, and Elad, that they would enter the Palestinian heroes. They would expect to have a sports stadium or a school in Ramallah or Hebron built for them by the Palestinian Authority and underwritten by the American and European taxpayers. And that says it beautifully.
Mm-hmm. That's nuts.
Nothing,
you know,
like ending
I'm
it on a sad note.
Well, you know what? Yes, it is a sad note, Gotti. But it's about time. It's about time the Israelis step up their own PR campaign to show what they're dealing with. You know, in the past, we've seen the pictures. We've seen the quick 30-second pictures of the bombings that the Palestinians were doing on buses and in stores and all that, okay, in Israel. But you know what? We never saw the graphic pictures of any length of Islamists firing Kadusha missiles and rockets from schools, from hospitals, from hiding behind women and children as weak as they are, and they're inflicting pain and terror on Israel from hiding behind children and women because they're cowards. And then they go out and they do this and they kill a family of five, including a four-month-old baby. You know, the Israelis really have to do this, and I don't blame Netanyahu for releasing this, because it's about time the world see what kind of barbaric individuals that you're having to deal with. And their word
exactly.
means nothing. Their word means absolutely nothing, as Mahmoud Abbas just proved. It means nothing. The Islamic word means nil. It means zilch.
Yeah, well, you know what? People like Warlord can call in and say it's a group of just a few nuts and they would have done it anyway. I want someone to call into this show and name for me one other organization, one other religion, or one other ideology that would kill a child like that. Just one. Somebody call in and set me straight, because I can't think of one.
You can't think of one?
Outside of the one
Surely,
that I'm thinking of, I can't think of one.
as red as you are.
Go ahead, Benjamin.
Well, anyway, I'm looking at the chat room, basically, and Warlord X said that showing these pictures of the victims will only fuel more hate. That's what he said. He thinks showing more of these pictures, oh, it'll only fuel more hate. That's what he said in the chat room. Showing these pictures will only fuel the mutual hate. I mean, that's how messed up Warlord X is. You show, yeah, any documentation of Islamic terrorism, oh, that will only fuel more hate. What are we supposed to do, kiss their butts? No. We got to do more than show pictures. Yes, we got to show pictures, but we also got to blow up these terrorists. These terrorist scumbags deserve to be blown up to smithereens.
And I just want to mention something here with this Warlord 10. By him stating that by showing these pictures, we're instilling hate and going to increase the hatred, that's nothing but blackmail. That's like the Muslim Brotherhood going that if we talk negatively about Islam, we're only going to increase the attacks on us. That's nothing but Islam. I mean, it's nothing but blackmail. And I will not stand for that. So I put the pictures up there for you again, Warlord. So look at them, because you are nothing but a sharmuta for Allah.
Yeah, look at what you're – oh, my God, it drives me nuts. We shouldn't post the pictures Instead, we should just sweep it under the proverbial prayer rug so that we pretend it never happened, so it'll continue.
Yes.
Give me a break.
Yes. Yes, let's kiss these terrorist butts, give up our freedom, and live under Sharia law, so then they won't hate us. Please, we gave you all our freedoms, just don't hate us. No, blow up these terrorists. We hate them. They hate us, we hate them. Blow up these terrorists. Blow them up. What are we waiting for? What are we supposed to do, give these terrorists hot chocolate? Oh, don't show the pictures, that'll only fuel more hate. Warlord X, how stupid can you get, honestly?
All I say is Mamma Mia, no Sharia.
We are proud infidels. All I can say is we're proud Coopers, we're proud infidels, and we want to be free. We don't want to be second-class Jimmies. Is that so wrong?
No, it's not wrong, but people have to understand what we're up against, and they have to understand
exactly.
The brutality in which Islam is willing to go to, what lengths they're willing to go to. And this is just an example. This killing
Itamar.
This killing in Itamar is just an example of what Islamists are willing to do, how callous they are. They do not value life. They value death. And the word of Mahmoud Abbas means nothing now. It means absolutely nothing. It cannot be trusted.
Exactly.
Benjamin Netanyahu has every right to demand whatever he's going to demand from the Palestinians. This is outrageous. And for Sheikh Obama not to even mention one word about this, although, you know, he was playing golf, so there was a tsunami in Japan, I think, or an earthquake. I think he missed that. He was playing golf. This is terrible. This is absolutely a terrible incident, and the world needs to see what Israel is battling against on a daily basis. And this is what's coming to our shores. This is what's coming to America's shores.
Exactly.
And you know what? It's happened already. Scotty, it's happened already.
Yes.
It's happened in New Jersey. There's a Coptic family that was murdered in New Jersey, and it was called a drug deal by the Trenton police, when in fact it was, or Newark police, it was not. It was a murder of a Coptic family who was speaking out in favor of Christianity and opposed Islam.
Yep.
Vito, how many minutes do we have? Some religion of peace that must be. But anyway, not only that, but with the widespread propaganda in the Arab and Muslim world, including in the so-called Palestinian territories, Palestinian Media Watch gives you a glimpse of that. Palestinian Media Watch gives you a glimpse of the terrorist propaganda that the so-called Palestinian leadership promotes, whether it's led by Hamas or Fatah. You can actually see a glimpse of it from Palestinian Media Watch. So here's the truth. Mahmoud Abbas is not a real peace partner. He's a terrorist. He took part in the 1972 massacre of Israeli athletes. He wrote a whole book.
I pledge allegiance.
He wrote a whole book based on Holocaust denial.
Benjamin, we're running out of time. I'm going to have to put you on hold. Thank you very much for calling, and be sure to check out his show.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. Appreciate that. I know we only have about a minute left. Gotti, your show Thursday evening, America Akbar. We're going to tune into that. That's going to be a great question and answer. And please tune in 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 10 p.m. Correct?
Correct. Real quick, let me give a 10-second plug for anybody listening in the North Carolina area. This Wednesday evening at UNC Chapel Hill, Ground Zero Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf will be holding a speech on his tour across America. And we will be there in a counter speech and a candlelight vigil out in front of his building. Meet us at 5 o'clock. We will be at the Carolina Inn, and we have survivors coming down and EMS workers coming down, like Tim Brown from New York, part of the 9/11 families. Be there if you're anywhere in North Carolina at 5 p.m. at the Carolina Inn. Go on. Thank you.
Wow. The slumlord Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, huh? Send them our regards. I wonder how his ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight. Gotti, thank you. America Akbar on Thursday. Gary Johnson Jr. Wednesday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll be back tomorrow evening from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. Holger, thank you. Iggy Mom, thank you. Thank you to all that was in there and all your words of wisdom. Ben, thank you. So for Alan Kay, I'm Vito Esposito. Join us again tomorrow evening from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Our website, www.radiojihad.org. God bless our truth and God bless America. Radio Jihad, striving to educate America.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Damn, you got that down to the last second.
The time is good.
You do that on my show.
Got that clock over there. You got to get with Reese on that. That's, you know, she needs to, you got to hold her accountable, Gotti.
Hey, listen, I know we're not streaming, but it's real important. The video Sacred Survivors will be seen at the UNC Chapel Hill meeting on Wednesday evening. And if I'm not on tomorrow, please make sure you guys repeat that. Alan, I had sent you a link to the invitation, so you should have
uh-huh.
that in your email. I sent it about a week ago.
Yes, I remember
Great.
Seeing it.
So,
yeah, we'll definitely say it, Gotti.
It's real important because I'm worried we're not going to have, I mean, the speakers are Martin Moyer, Tim Brown, Michael Garth, Noni Darlish, Andy Sullivan, and myself. So
well,
it's going to
be
a hold
of the,
break.
Get the tea party there and the 912ers.
Yeah, we've been trying.
We've got someone on the line. Hello?
Yes, Justin. And anyway, here's the thing. We got to just ignore the warlord hexes and hunt down the terrorists. That's what we got to do.
Most definitely.
And as I said, I mean, this Palestinian state idea is so stupid because the so-called Palestinians, they want to kill Jews, and they also want to kill their fellow Arabs in the territories who want peace. Because they believe that Arabs in the territories who want peace are collaborators of Israel, and they lynch them on a pole. That's what these so-called Palestinians, namely the terrorist ones, do.
Well, we at Radio Jihad, we do not promote violence of any kind. I just want to make that perfectly clear. Those are the views of the caller, not of Radio Jihad. Thank you.
Hey, Gotti.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Gotti. You said you're going to be meeting at the church. At a hotel. Are you guys going to be at the an actual UNC?
Yes, the hotel is called the Carolina Inn, and it's actually on the campus of UNC. We've rented the Chancellor's Ballroom, which is where we'll be meeting at 5:00, and it runs after the video will be speeches by all the people that I mentioned, and then around 7:30, 8:00. We're doing a candlelight walk, and about 10 minutes away from where we are is where Faisal is speaking, and we're going to walk right past him with all the candles.
Now, who's going to be – is the Muslim Student Association for UNC sponsoring this guy?
Believe it or not, UNC, it's funny because he made it very clear that he was not going to be trying to get donations for the mosque, but he's being paid, and it's up in the air as to whether it's $10,000 or $20,000. He was asked to come and speak by UNC, and he's being paid to come.
Yeah, by UNC or by the Muslim Student Association?
No, my understanding is that UNC, the university itself, not one of the groups, actually invited him.
Boy, Al, isn't that contrary to what the University Jihad, I'm sorry, University of Central Florida had done?
Jihad U?
Jihad U.
Yes.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
promote that tomorrow. Guys, I've got to run. It was a wonderful show. I love it when people like Warlord call in. And please, if you're around Thursday night, call in, give me some ideas and some arguments. Alan, you always play a good devil's advocate or the devil, whichever you want to call it. And, you know, we'll be trying to teach people how to talk to people about Islam and how to educate them without getting into a fight and making them just walk off thinking you're a nutbag.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I've got a meeting Thursday night, so I won't be able to make it. But
yeah. That's okay. I understand.
I'll try to be on there.
Sorry. What's that, Vito?
I said I will try to be on there. I will. I'm definitely gonna.
All right. I knew I could count on my Vito salami.
Hey,
I'm gonna make him an honorary member of the tribe. Alan, you're out. Vito,
I'm out.
Hey, I've already been.
Will the Italians take me?
He can say things like, "Shalom abodanza."
Maron.
Maro,
have a great night. I will try and be on tomorrow,
thanks,
but I can't guarantee it. Have a wonderful
Not
evening,
a
and don't forget Thursday, 8 to 10 East Coast time, America Akbar. We will catch you later.
An America
thanks.
Akbar to you.
Bye, Gotti.
And an Israel Bye. Akbar.
There you go. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's pretty funny, that guy. Wow, the mindset of it was almost a comical phone call from that Malcolm 10.
Yeah, I was losing my patience with him this time.
Well, you know what? You can't ask a question, you know, one way and ask for a simple yes or a no answer, and then get a dialogue or a monologue for an answer.
Nonsensical.
So, no, that was, I don't blame you. I mean, and then cutting people off, just answer the question. A guy asked him a yes or a no. We don't care what his answer was. The answer was yes, that's good. If it's no, who cares? At least, the idea is to get dialogue.
Yeah. He was sucking the air out of the room.
I don't know. It's just retarded is what it is, the whole thing. Come on.
I've got his accent down pretty good, though.
Not bad for a Jewish guy.
Holy mackerel.
Holy mackerel. Well, and that killing is just awful. That was absolutely disgusting. Oh, my God.
And then his comment about showing the pictures instills hate. I'm sorry. That's just nothing but blackmail.
That's one of the stupidest things that we've ever heard. And you know what makes it worse? We're expected to give these terrorist barbarians a state. I mean, do you think that the state's going to be controlled by Arabs who want peace? No, it's going to be controlled by the terrorists. So you were expected to give these terrorist barbarians a state in the hope of peace? Oh, we got to give the Palestinians a state, basic human right to statehood. They're not even a real nationality. They're not even a real people.
They're Jordanians.
Well, the interesting thing on that answer is it seems like the talking points are being bandied about and made, made available throughout the United States because, when Holger was talking about his that show yesterday on the Peter King hearings, he mentioned affront, ridiculous, our overseas contributions that we're making as to why things are becoming radicalized. So even the so-called conservative individuals are adopting the talking points to allow, their mission to get out there. And so this guy was this Malcolm 10 was talking about the talking points. He threw out several talking points out there. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So some organization out there is throwing these talking points out for everybody to use.
You're right, because all the arguments are the same. They're consistently the same. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then you're a racist, you're an Islamophobe. This guy threw out the same thing. Oh, well, the pictures only breed hate. No, it doesn't. Where would you make that statement? But you hear that statement over again.
Right. Well, anyway, how would Warlord X like it if we said, the pictures of black people being lynched by the KKK would only instill hate? how would he like it if we said that? If we said that, we'd be called racist. But, oh, it's okay for Warlord X to say, oh, showing the pictures of the Jewish victims in that settlement, they'll say, how come it's okay for Warlord X to say that, but if we were to say something like that, oh, we'd be racist. I mean, it's a the twisted thinking of these liberals like Warlord X is just amazing.
Well, he knows that the showing of the pictures will wake people up and make them angry, and then once the people are angry, then they won't be able to control them with their speech.
Exactly.
You formulate an opinion.
It's all about control. These radicals and these leftists want control. They hate Western civilization to begin with, and that's why they'll, of course, express sympathy for and collaborate with the Islamo-fascists.
You know, we didn't have enough time, and I found what I was looking for. I was going nuts and looking for this, but tomorrow we need to, if you don't mind, I'd like to read something tomorrow, and it's by Amil Imani, and he wrote, "Dear Representative King, forget radical Islam is the culprit. This thing is beautiful." What a great article, and Al, we need to read this tomorrow.
All right, well, send me the link, and I'll put it up on the website tonight.
Okay, it's from the American Thinker.
Okay, I'll find
it. What a great article. I told him that I would read it on Monday, and if he listens to this, my apologies. We got sidetracked, but the article is like it sums up everything, and it's direct, and it's to the point, and that's what we need. We need something that's direct and to the point now. And I think those pictures that were released are direct and to the point. While they're graphic, they're horrific, it's still something that needs to be seen by the world so they understand what Israel is up against on a daily basis and what they have been up against for the last, 60 years.
Right.
Amen to that.
So, and it's not going to go unfounded on this thing, I think it's damn, it's an issue where, we've read about all of the killings and stuff in Sudan of Christians and Lahore, Pakistan of Christians, but man, it's, this is going on a daily basis in Israel, and it's just, it's downright disgusting.
Yeah, some religion of peace that must be. Except the radicals are the ones in control to begin with. And in fact, yeah, the radicals are the ones in control to begin with. And the radical Muslims are just carrying out the missions of the Muslim conquerors from history. What about the Battle of Tours when they were, attacking the West? That was way before Islam was supposedly hijacked. And the Hadith even records Muhammad as saying, fight the people until they believe Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet. So the Hadith records Muhammad as essentially saying, conquer the world for Islam. So,
it's disgusting. It's disgraceful. It's an absolute abhorrent act by people who do not value any life. And oh my Lord. It's one of the worst things that I've ever seen. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Pretty horrible.
Well, I have to depart, so if you want to shut it down, or you want me to shut it down?
No, I got it.
All right,
Benjamin, thank you. Vito, great show as always.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
No problem.
I'll talk to you. Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.